This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 152. So we are speaking to Fred Chua again of Magellan Solutions. We spoke to Fred previously in episodes 146 and 149. And Fred is the founder and CEO of Magellan Solutions, which is a full-service BPO. Fred is also the founder of PhilCall.ph, which is an association of Filipino-owned call centers. So we talk to Fred now about the industry generally, the opportunities for outsourcing in the Philippines, and the future direction of the sector. Fred has pretty much seen the outsourcing sector since the beginning. He started it in 2001, so he certainly has a lot of first-hand experience. It's a really good conversation. I enjoyed our conversation, and I'm sure you can learn a lot as well. If you want to get in touch with Fred or want to know any more about this episode, just go to outsourceaccelerator.com/152. Enjoy. Welcome back, everybody. Again, today I'm excited to be talking to Fred Chua of Magellan Solutions. Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for inviting me in this podcast.
Absolute pleasure. And it's great to have you back. And of course, people can listen to the earlier episodes to learn more about Magellan Solutions and your background and your now nearly 20 years experience in the sector. But I suppose initially, can you introduce yourself and a little bit about your journey to this point?
Sure. So, I started off as a call center agent myself back in 2001. I've been in the industry for a long time. So when the industry started, I was already in the industry. And we realized that there was a need. So when I worked in the call center, there was only a handful of call centers predominantly focusing on the Fortune 500 companies and all that. And I was thinking to myself and said, you know what, there's a very big market potential for the SME segment to focus on that side. So we set up a call center back in 2003. Started operating in 2005. So we started off with just 14 people. Now we're currently at a 600 seat operation already, running, servicing, pretty much around 80% the US market, and the 20% is Europe and Australia, including APAC as well. So it's been great. It's been a very good journey. Of course, it's not easy, but it's been a good journey.
Yeah, and to companies in the West, a operation with 600 staff is just absolutely kind of monstrous, isn't it? Whereas here,
still relatively small.
It's certainly a good operation, and there's obviously a good level of infrastructure there. But it's amazing just how kind of large some of the operations here can become. Yeah,
exactly. I agree.
So you have seen a lot of changes and movements in the market. You started in 2001, and you started Magellan Solutions in about 2004, 2005. You've seen a lot of consolidation in the market. Where do you see the market going? Do you see it reducing down? Do you see a lot of merger and acquisition? Do you see a lot of consolidation? Where do you see the kind of the players in the market in the next kind of 5-10 years?
Sure. I think there's still going to be my perspective is that the M&A aspect of things is still going to continue. There's a lot of consolidation, as you pointed out a while ago. So I don't know. It's completely different from if you go back to 10 years ago, a lot of those companies that were there are not there anymore. And some of them have been bought out, two or three levels, that's two or three times over. Bought out once, then sold again, then bought by another company again. So I think there's in the big player segment, there's going to be a lot of that happening. I think it's still going to continue to happen, even in the offshore market and the Philippine market or whatever. The industry itself as a whole, I still foresee that it will grow at the 15 to 20% mark. I don't know what the specific percentage is. Naturally, as the industry grows, it's difficult to maintain a 15% to 20% year on year growth path. So it's bound to plateau. It's bound to decrease. But on a total scale increase, it's still massive. It's still massive. Again, yeah. We started off back in 2000 with just probably like, you know, 10,000 in employment in the call center industry. Right now we're at 1.3 with a ratio of 1:4 or 1:3. So you have like, you know, restaurants and 7-Elevens, and all of that encompasses probably like 4 to 5 million total employment in this industry. Direct or indirect.
So I mean, and the direct contributes about 10% to the country's GDP now. It really is becoming a critical industry.
It's going to soon overtake also the remittances, because I think remittances right now is probably like 27, 28 billion. And if the U.S., if the BPO sector is already at 25 billion, you know, it's just based on the percentage increase. It's I believe they were saying that, you know, in before 2020, it's going to be overtaken by the BPO sector already.
Yeah. In terms of, and by remittances, you mean the OFWs, which is overseas foreign workers, and you know, that historically has always been a very strong contributor towards the economy and supporting people back here. But
exactly,
it's nice to see that outsourcing is now, you know, about to overtake that. But also the positive thing with outsourcing is that it reduces the brain drain, it keeps people at home, it keeps people with their families, and it's also in kind of careers and sectors where, you know, they're kind of white collar jobs, and people have the career ladder. Like there's a huge kind of upside for outsourcing for the Filipinos. Yep. Yeah,
I agree, because of course, you know, OFWs, you're not building an industry. you're not building any industry for the Philippines. You're right. The brain drain is really a major factor. At least in this case, BPOs is a industry altogether. If they're employing like, you know, 5% of the entire population of the Philippines, that's good. That's huge, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And no other industry was able to build you know, that scale of operation in that short a period of time, right?
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? And again, you know, prior to the internet and prior to telecommunications, there were so many friction points and hurdles for the Philippines to really advance the economy. Whereas now, you know, and previously, an example of an economic upside would be if a factory was built in a province. And whereas now, people in the province can enter the worldwide economy with outsourcing, with freelancing, and they, you know, they're working on computers, they're upskilling themselves, and there's really kind of unlimited potential through these avenues now.
Yep. Agreed. Because everything is over the internet. You know, there could be, if you don't have, like for example, in the provinces, you might not have that high quality of internet connection, but you don't need to do voice, because of course, naturally, voice is a lot more sensitive for internet connection, connectivity. But in the provinces, you could do back office stuff, and it's not as sensitive to connection speeds and latencies and trace routes and stuff like that. So huge potential. You know, it's just, you just have to focus on a specific niche. What specific vertical or market do you want to focus on? Like, you know, in our case, we're also doing 3D modeling for certain clients. 3D modeling, we're also doing, you know, the typical online marketing for certain clients as part of the back office stuff, on top of like the typical data encoding and data processing work.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in the beginning, it was just call centers, but now it's really anything that can be done in front of a computer can be outsourced. And you know, and certainly the Philippines is showing incredible kind of aptitude and skills, especially within certain areas like design and front end. And as you say, a lot of like the creative and rendering, 3D modeling, like there's it's just growing in every direction.
Agreed.
So I want to put this to you though, like in the upper end of the market, and a lot of the industry bodies like IBPAP and CCAP, they are a bit gloomy, and they are suggesting that it might be a sunset industry. They're suggesting downward trends. They're also mentioning stuff like AI. What are your thoughts on that? Because there's a lot of people really worried about the future of outsourcing.
I think honestly, I'm more of a positive thinker in that aspect of things. I'm more of an optimist, but generally speaking, there are challenges. I think the government has to really support the industry too, you know, in that side of things. They, you know, whatever incentives, I think it's really good that we implement it and we maintain whatever incentives we have for the industry. Because even if, you know, like for example, for an export company, of course, there's in a BPO sector, you have income tax exemption, right? And part of that income tax exemption is to invite more players and more companies to set up in this industry, because that provides employment. I think the most critical part in any economy is, are you able to provide a lot of employment for the citizens, especially for a country like the Philippines that has 100 million population. If you don't provide employment, the economy is going to go down for sure. So I think the major factor that the BPO sector is able to do is really provide employment for the people. And people, you know, people in government shouldn't look at it on a short-term basis and say, you know what, I want to earn income direct, corporate income tax from these companies, and say, let's look at the long term and say, what is the potential of providing more employment, right? So they have to look at that. So I think it's critical that they have to support it. They have to support the industry.
Yeah, and for all of the people listening from overseas, there is incredible. The government is so aware of the benefits of outsourcing, and it historically has supported it. But they're kind of evolving things at the moment. But yep. But certainly, I think the government generally is very progressive. It's very supportive of outsourcing, and well done to them. And sure. As you say, it's, you know, outsourcing contributes about 10% to the GDP. It still only employs about 1% of the population. So I think there's such a huge employment potential
opportunity.
There. And exactly. And also, you know, we suggest that more and more SMEs should outsource, and again, that's your kind of sweet spot as well. Sure. And yep. It seems that the industry just generally has the bigger boys in the industry generally has a bit of a disinterest in the SME market. Do you think?
Germany.
The big boys in the industry.
I think, you know, it's all connected to, again, most of the big the associations like IBPAP and CCAP. Majority of their members are predominantly very large BPO companies. So the large BPO companies are affected, are also, you know, even the SMEs, pretty much, you know, the industry that, you know, whether you're an SME BPO company or a big BPO company, everybody's pretty much affected as well. But I think, honestly speaking, again, you cannot maintain the percentage of growth on a year-to-year basis can't be maintained at 15 to 20% if your GDP already is like, you know, 10% or 15%. It's massive already. So it's bound to taper a bit. But if you look at the overall overall impact of the industry itself, it's still continuously rising. I think you have to look at what is the potential of the market itself, you know, the BPO, the outsourcing sector. The outsourcing sector is, I don't know, several trillion dollars. I don't know how much that is, the specific figure, but it's huge.
It's big.
Because anything and essentially anything and everything that's pretty much process driven can be outsourced. If you look at it closely, it can be. Would it be back office stuff and all that? As long as it's process driven, there's a structure to it, it can be outsourced. So you look at any company that you go to, whether it be the US or Australia or UK or whatever, essentially any companies, there's a process there. Yes, you can hire somebody in-house, but also you can outsource that offshore. And so if you look at the market potential, it's bound to increase. Now, the good thing about the BPO sector, as opposed to, like, for example, the manufacturing sector, and this is where I become a bit more optimistic, is that in the manufacturing sector, it's purely process. There's no culture involved in it. When it comes to BPO outsourcing, there's the cultural component, the communication skills, the cultural component. And of course, the good thing about the Philippine market is that it's extremely customer service centric, right? So very good customer handling, the rapport building with customers are pretty good. You know, we're very courteous. You know, we always apologize all the time, even if, you know, sometimes even Americans would say, stop apologizing.
Right. Yeah,
it's the habit of regular Filipinos to always apologize for things. And that's really, it's a good thing. You know, it's very, again, customer service, it's very ideal. So the good thing about BPOs is that it has to be a mix of both the process side of things and the cultural aspect, and which we're pretty good at on both parts. And that's the reason why we're number one in terms of BPOs.
So yeah. And again, we're trying to promote the Philippines as the Swiss banking of outsourcing because of that cultural alignment and because of the natural aptitude and friendliness of the Philippines. And also, I find it incredibly, it's so positive looking forward because all of the kids, you know, the young kids of today, they're being brought up on a cultural diet of YouTube and, you know, all the same sort of forums and blogs as the rest of the world. So it really is becoming one world, and that will really empower the future generations to just work on the same level as anyone sitting anywhere in the world.
Exactly. I agree.
It's huge. Yep. Okay. And thank you so much. Also, you know, it's interesting. You are have founded PhilCall.ph, which is a Philippines call center association. And that was in response to the majority
Philippine-based call center. So primarily for Philippine-based, Philippine-owned.
Right.
Excuse me, Philippine-owned call centers.
And because I mean, can you speak to that? And there is the majority of call centers are foreign-owned, and because when they were originated, it was effectively what the U.S. clients that had a sort of interest in funding these things.
Yeah, so majority of the BPO players, although it's a very big industry, majority of the BPO players here in the Philippines are foreign owned companies. Whether it be an SME BPO or a big BPO company, they're all foreign owned, either American owned, Australian owned, Indian owned. But for the local market, there's only a handful of BPO companies that are locally owned, and I think. You know, the objective of PhilCall is to be able to help more locally owned companies establish themselves here in the Philippines. Mm. So there's a bit of a nonprofit and very idealistic expectation or objective that we need to support, you know, local homegrown companies as well to succeed, because the BPO sector is not an easy sector, very, very complicated. And you know, you have to benchmark, you have to compare yourself, and you have to have the proper support with other organizations that's willing to help you out. So that's really the purpose of PhilCall, is to help these locally owned players.
Yeah, it's an interesting observation, that, isn't it? Because, you know, all of these BPOs, the big BPOs, even if they're foreign owned, 99% of the senior management and executives are now Filipinos, because they have grown up in the industry and they have the experience and executive capabilities. It is quite surprising that not more are actually Filipino owned. I personally do see now more and more kind of small SMEs in that space, more commonly in the kind of agency area. You're seeing a lot of Filipinos start, like digital marketing agencies, a lot of those kind of the digital and online agencies, which is fantastic. You know, hopefully, in future generations, they will be the next kind of IBM services, etc. But are you seeing an acceleration then of Philippine?
Not much. Historically, over the course, there was sort of like an acceleration back in that's my perspective. I'm looking specifically at the specific call center industry. So not on the digital marketing or the back office stuff. I kind of agree with you on that other stuff, other industries or verticals, because of course the good thing about BPO is it's so widespread. On the call center side, no, unfortunately it's not. It's actually decreasing in terms of percentage for SME companies, locally owned SME companies establishing themselves in the BPO sector, in the call center sector, I mean. I think it's because a lot of companies have set up, but it's because the industry is very complicated and difficult. You have to have a lot of support mechanism, and you have to benchmark. You have to really be resilient, and that is to overcome all of these challenges in the BPO sector. Part of it is that, and part of it is the support and the benchmarking. So that's the reason why there's a decline in that side of things. But in terms of number of BPO companies in general setting up, it's increasing. I'm just talking about specifically, are there a lot of locally owned call centers being established?
Right, and that's as a result of the growth. Generally, you'll get a lot of startups. But I suppose it is funny, isn't it? I talk to a lot of entrepreneurs here and startups, and they're all focusing, which is great, but they're all focusing still on the domestic market. And I'm like, you know, there is this huge golden egg and opportunity out there, which is in utilizing the cheaper overheads, this cheaper staffing here, but then go out and sell your wares, your services, your software, your call center functions to the West, who will pay Western prices. And I see that actually as, you know, for the kids with ambitions here in the Philippines, they have a phenomenal advantage over someone in the US because they have that incredible cost advantage that they can just naturally tap into.
So I think in that aspect, it's really just how do you market yourself to the West and to, you know, to Australia, to Europe. I think that's a challenge. That's kind of like the one of the golden eggs, I guess. You know, how do you successfully market yourself, not only to focus on the local market? I kind of agree with you. Normally, when companies set up here, their target market is the local domestic market. And I said, why? You know, there's so much, the industry is so much bigger if you focus on outside of the Philippines as opposed to within the Philippines.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. So, of course, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, either with Magellan or Philcall, how can they do that, Fred?
Yes, you can visit our website. Our company is, the website is www.magellan, magellan-solutions.com. Or if you're from the U.S., you could call our number. It's 1-800-371-6224. And we'll definitely assist you when you call that number.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, Dar.
That was Fred Chua of Magellan Solutions and philcall.ph. If you want to get in touch with Fred or want to know any more about this episode, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/152. And of course, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.